Whatever you need, Jesus has got it. Whatever you need, Jesus has got it. And Hank, by the Spirit of God, you're going to be able to breathe better than when you came into this place today. Because Jesus is the healer. And any place that He went, He healed all that came to Him. So you came this morning expecting to get something. Jesus said, you got it. Believe that He has given you new lungs in the name of Jesus. You just got to believe it and then just thank Him for it. That's all you got to do. That's all anybody has to do is believe that you got it. Believe that Jesus gave you. Amen. And it's going to get better and better. How do you know that, Pastor? Because that's what the Bible says. That's what Jesus said. He is the truth. And I just crazy enough to believe it. But not only did I believe it, I experienced it. In my life. See, I can't tell you about your experience, but I can tell you about mine. What the Lord has done for me. He's removed growths off the top of my head. When my hair started thinning out, that was I didn't like the way that looked. God took care of that. I kept rubbing it, praying for it, and believing, and it disappeared. That's faith. I believed that before it was gone anywhere. So you got to keep your focus on the Word of God and keep your faith active. Keep the words got to come out of your mouth. I will say of the Lord, He is my healer. I will not be denied, but totally be supplied by His grace. Amen. I will not be denied, but be totally supplied by His grace in the name of Jesus. So we thank You right now. We speak to new lungs right now to Hank in the name of Jesus. We command him to come alive. Come back to be pink in the name of Jesus where he doesn't have to. It's not a struggle to breathe. It's a blessing to breathe. Yeah. To Hank, it's not a struggle to breathe. It's a blessing to breathe in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank You for that, Lord. You are the healer. I might as well tell you the message. Now I better wait a little bit. That was just the introduction. Man, if that's just the introduction, what about the conclusion? Because Jesus said He'll confirm the word preached with signs and wonders following. We're already in the midst of it, man. What's going to happen at the end? Hey, don't limit God. I gave some books out this morning that says don't limit God. Take the limits off. Get out of the flesh and get into the Spirit. That's where it's limitless. And I'm feeling that, brother. The rapture might be real soon, or that's just the Holy Ghost. I think it's just the Holy Ghost. But if the rapture comes, it's going to feel real good to your body because your body is going to be changed from the inside out. Old is going to be out of the vocabulary. There'll be no more old. Everything's going to be made new. That's what Jesus said. I make all things new. I make all the old things new. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven because heaven came to earth. That's how Hank's getting his new lungs right now because he's sitting in heaven. On the inside. Jesus is on the inside. Amen. We just got to stir the healing up a little bit. Stir the healing up. That's what we're doing by the anointing, by the Holy Ghost. Stirring things up so they can get on the outside. See, when you stir the pot, the aroma rises to the top. Stir the pot. Stir Jesus and let Him rise to the top. Amen. See, the devil's defeated, and I like it. He's defeated. I heard a testimony this week. Somebody helped me. Somebody gave me a testimony this week. I heard so many this week. My brother-in-law called me yesterday. Remember, his wound wasn't healing too good. He called me and said, hey, it's working. And he was talking to me about his nephew was there wanting to talk to Rowan about playing the game. He said, it's working. Brett needs to talk to Rowan, but I just want to let you know it's working. And I said, what's that? What's working? He said, you come up here and pray, and it's healing. So he was wounded. He had to have surgery, and the wound was all the way down to the bone. It wasn't healing. They had to put a pump in there. But I took him to Word. I took him to Isaiah. We sat around and talked about Jesus for about an hour and a half. That Jesus was wounded for his transgressions. And we spoke to that wound and commanded to heal. And he's been in the Baptist church for a long time. Hadn't heard a lot about healing. Heard a lot about healing. So you need to hear a lot about what you need. But he said, it's working. And I said, well, praise God. That's what we were believing for, right? It's working. So it might not feel like it yet, but it's working. See, the Word is working. Don't go by your feelings. Go by faith. You can never fail with faith. Matthew 16. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus had just been, in the previous chapter, he just fed over 4,000 people with 7 loaves and 2 fish. That's a little old KFC chicken bucket. About 5 churches this size. Hungry people. Been listening to the preacher all day. And they didn't bring no money because Jesus just took care of them. That's what he said. So Jesus looked to his disciples. He looked to Reed. Reed, we got 5,000 people. Pizza Hut's closed today, Reed. What are we going to do? He was looking. Jesus was looking for faith. But he had all these miracles they had done, but the disciples had the tendency to look to their heads at what they could do, and they would forget about the miracles. So never look to your head or to your body for miracles. It's in your heart. It's in your spirit. Amen. And Jesus, after they, you know, all these miracles, he came preaching, and then the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they also came to see this Jesus. You see, they were the religious bunch. They come from the churches. And they came testing him. You don't never want to test Jesus. You want to believe him and let him touch you. Don't test him, touch him. Amen. Because if you test him, you ain't going to get nothing. Testing him. See, that's what Judas did for those 3.5 years. I found out Judas was a hypocrite. He was a hypocrite. Judas was confessing something that he didn't have. He didn't have faith in Jesus. He didn't believe. In his heart, Judas didn't love Jesus. He loved the money. He loved what Jesus was doing for him. See, he was a hypocrite. Jesus still loved him, though, through those 3.5 years. He loved him, hoping that his heart would change. See, Judas's heart was hardened. Every time he rejected the love of God, his heart got calloused, got hardened. He was seeing miracles. 3.5 years, Judas was seeing the miracle power of God change people's lives, but it couldn't change him. Why? He wouldn't let it in. The power was present to heal, Jesus said at one time, but nobody would receive except one crazy fool that come busting through the roof that had faith. Remember that time? They let him down through the roof. He had 3 crazy friends with him too. 4 altogether. 4 friends. He got healed. The power of the Lord was present to heal all, and he got it. Yeah. Hank, you got it. Amen. Amen. You keep coming to Jesus, and you'll get it. Amen. And he's got more than you need. Amen. See, sales are changing. Lives are changing in the presence of the Lord. There's fullness of joy. Amen. They came testing to see what kind of sign. They wanted to see a sign from heaven. It was in front of them. The sign was in front of them. And they couldn't see that sign. They want to see something from heaven. And Jesus answered and said to them, When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites. What Jesus said is what Jesus called them. I'm not calling you hypocrites. This is what Jesus was saying to those Pharisees and Sadducees. You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you can't discern the face of God. I'm just paraphrasing. You're looking right at God, face to face, and they can't see God. But they can look out here at the natural things. See, you can't see God with your mind. You see God with your heart. That's how you receive anything from God. Just like Alan was telling us, this is what God spoke to him, and he wrote it down. Sometimes you need to write some things down. Amen. Make some notes. Just don't make mental notes because the devil will steal them from you. See, that's where he works, in your mind. He'll steal that from you. Write it down. But you can put it in there with your heart. Renew your mind with the Word of God. The devil can't steal that. When it gets in your heart, he can't get that from you. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign shall be given to him except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And Jesus left them and departed. See, when they came to test Jesus, they didn't get nothing. He gave them a sign like Jonah. You're going to look for me and you can't find me, because you're looking in all the wrong places. See, Jonah was 3 days in the belly of a whale. I don't want to be there. I don't want to be in a whale. I want to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen. A wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. And then he gets Jesus is teaching. Now, the disciples are right here hearing all this going on. Listen to this. In verse 5, Matthew 16:5, and when the disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Uh-oh. No more food again. And Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Jesus is not talking about bread. He's talking about religion. He's talking about hypocrisy. See, they came asking Jesus something, but they were hypocrites in what they were asking. They didn't want to know the kingdom. They didn't want to know about Jesus. They just wanted to see how's these signs happening. How do you make these signs happen? See, they want the formula, but they don't want the sacrifice. They don't want to sacrifice their life. They just want just to work in their life. They don't want to come to church. They don't want to do what we need to do, right? They don't want to follow Jesus. That's what happens when you follow Jesus. You become the sign. And when you follow Jesus, you become one of those signs and wonders, one of those fanatics that believe that God can just heal a lung just like that, that life can come to a kidney. I just spoke to somebody that had we just prayed Wednesday night for somebody that was going to dialysis. Vicki, there was one of those testimonies. Get up and testify. What? She came where?
She came home. Oh.
Thursday. We prayed Wednesday. That's pretty fast. Now, amen. See, she's doing good. Good's good. Good's better than bad, right? Your prayers, prayed by faith, they work. Amen. They work for other people. So keep praying. Never give up. She needs the word. She needs the good word. And she needs people. See, kidneys can come alive. Amen. Jesus said, live. He's the resurrection and the life. He said, speak to those things. Command them to live. Amen. Was it Ezekiel said, can these bones live? Ask God. Yes. Why? Life is in the blood. Blood's in the bones, man. God can make your bones. Got cancer in your bone? God can take the cancer out. And then resupply what the cancer destroyed. Resupply the bone, whatever you need. Amen. Jesus told his disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, and they reasoned. Where does reasoning take place? You'll reason away. You can don't think up here. That's why you're not supposed to be moved by what I just feel when somebody says I receive something. You'll reason it away. You'll say, well, I guess God didn't know. It's not about God, it's about us believing what he said. Amen. Yeah. Hold fast to your confession of faith. Hold fast to it. Yeah. Hold fast. Like a dog with a bone. You know, Ruthie, she's graduating too this year, and we had some balloons we gave her a while back when she played volleyball. It was a big old balloon of Ruthie, and it had a little blonde hair. It was lifelike. It was about this big, but they've been in our room, and they shrank down to about it's just a little Ruthie sitting now with a 14, and I was knocking around. The dog was in the living room. And I was kind of kicking it, and the dog, woof, woof, you know, and then she'd fall over, and I'd kick her back up, and then he grabbed that balloon. I'm like, get, no. That dog wouldn't let go of that balloon until he popped one. So you got to hold fast to your confession of faith until it pops, amen? Until you see it, you hold fast. Don't you let the devil take God's healing from you, because it's not his. See, hold fast to your confession. He don't want to let loose of you. Tough. He has to. He's created by God. He's got to, you submit to God and resist him. He's got to flee. Hold fast to your confession. I am healed. I got new lungs. Pastor said that Jesus said, I got new lungs. I got new lungs. How you feeling? I ain't worried about what I'm feeling. I got new lungs. That means I'm going to be feeling a lot better. You don't have to tell. It's not their miracles. It's yours. So don't tell the doctor what he sees. Tell him what you believe. I don't care what you see, doctor. I believe. I got new lungs. Just wait and see. See, they're looking for a sign, but the sign is in me. It's in the Word. The Word is near me. It's in my heart. It's in my mouth. This is the Word that I believe. And when it comes out your mouth, it comes into your life. When it comes out of your mouth, it comes into your life. Amen. You can see it. You got it. Hope deferred, the Bible says, makes a body sick. Don't defer your hope. Defer your mind. I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to be. When he was going to Jerusalem at one time, he says David's heart was fixed at one time. He says, my heart is fixed, O Lord. My heart is fixed. And he got fixed. Amen. You need something fixed in your life, get your heart fixed. It's a heart problem, not a head problem. Don't worry about your head. Doubt's in your head, but you keep putting the word in your heart, and it's just like you're putting water in a glass of oil. You'll flush that oil right out of there. You keep putting the word in, and it'll flush all that garbage in your mind out. All that religion, tradition. Amen. You got to flush that tradition out. Flush it out of there with the word of God. Purge it. And they reasoned among themselves. Jesus' disciple reasoned, saying, it's because we didn't take no bread. He's talking about leaven now. Jesus is rebuking them. They're like bread. Jesus is like, oh, they're not hearing me. And Jesus, being aware of them reasoning, said, oh, ye of little faith. Thank God he didn't say no faith. He said, little faith. Hey, if I got little faith, that means I can get bigger, right? So don't never beat somebody down. Just tell them what they got, but tell them what you need. You need to get bigger. You got little faith now, but keep believing God in it. It'll get bigger. Amen. Keep working that muscle. Keep pumping out. Keep working it out. Ruth's getting ready to go to college. She's going to find muscle she didn't know she had when that coach puts her on that field. They're going to say, high school's over, baby. Come on. It's college time now. Rise early. Get up. Get up. It's time to hit the field. Uh-oh. You're going to say, Jesus, have mercy on me, Lord. Be crying for mercy. Jesus. Pray her coach's name is Jesus. She's going to be fine. Daniel's going to be fine. He's working. He got him a job. He's putting his hands to the plow. Not looking back. That's what Daniel. He's looking back to college now. He's looking forward to greater things. Putting his hand to the plow. God's going to bless him. Already blessing him. He's going to take Mom and Reed out and Daniel out one day. He's going to take them out to Golden Corral. And he says, Mom and Daddy, Daniel, Darius, it's on me today. I'm prophesying, Daniel. I'm prophesying. Money's coming in. Going to get a bonus check. Going to get a bonus check. Bonus check. Mama's going to say, yes, let's go. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All is well. So Jesus looked at this little faith, and what did he see? He saw great faith. So you got to look at, Jesus looks at little faith, but he sees great faith. That means it's time to teach something. Amen. It's time to teach something. Why do you reason among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves, the 5,000, and how many baskets you took up? See, they were looking at what they didn't have. Jesus said, do you not remember what you had after you believed? After you believed. They started out with 7 and they ended up with 12. Do the math. That's pretty good. Not counting what everybody got filled. They were filled. They had thirds, Hank. When Jesus has a get together, you go to the table as many times as you want to, and then you always got some left over. Amen? And he's got good leftovers. I'm not good on all leftovers. Some things I just don't like being leftovers. But if Jesus says, I got something left over from him, it's going to be great. Amen? His leftovers are good. Number 10, nor the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many large baskets you took up? How is it you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning the bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Beware of the hypocrisy. See, you're not confessing with your heart, you're confessing with this tradition, religion. In other words, you're serving, Jesus said, men serve me with their lips, but their heart's far from me. That's what happened to Judas. He was serving Jesus with his outward appearance, but his heart was full of dead man's bones, full of religion, what money could buy, and it cost him his life. Amen? We don't want to go there. We don't want to be on that boiler room. Our goal is get to the penthouse, to the top. Where Jesus is. You don't have to struggle to get there. Amen. All you got to do is rest in His grace and mercy. He'll take you all the way to the top. And you don't want, the devil will try to get you there too. He wants to take you to the top, but not by God's way, but by His way. By putting people down and beating people down and taking bribes. See, because the devil brought that temptation to Jesus. Took him up to the pinnacle of the temple and said, all these kingdoms I'll give you if you'll worship me. See, don't give the devil your worship. Give God worship. And that's what Judas didn't give. He didn't give Jesus worship. He gave Jesus mouth, lip service, and his heart was far from him. He was a hypocrite. Jesus knew it, but Judas had to make that decision. Jesus would not look at him and say, "You're a hypocrite." No, Judas had to come to that, and he had to repent. He had to change from that, and he didn't. And now he became the son of perdition, who betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said it'd be better if that man had never been born. Amen? That's what Jesus said. But this, we told him, we're not hypocrites here. We're learning about Jesus. We're learning about what not to be. Not to be a hypocrite. Amen? Just be honest with the Lord. And He'll give you the desires of your heart. See, if you open up your heart to God, He puts His desires in you. But if you keep your heart closed, God can't get close to you. He can't put His goodness in you. That's all He's after, is to get goodness, get His glory to us. Jesus said, "I stand at the door and I knock." Let Jesus in. Amen?
Amen.
Make a song about that. Jesus is knocking, let Him in. Jesus is a knocking, let Him in. Tammy's going to finish that song one day. When Jesus comes a knocking, let Him in. Hey, He's not going to be in your neighborhood all day. Right? He says, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord, it dwells with men, and then there comes a time when it doesn't strive with men, not always. You better get in when He's knocking. Because see, Jesus is on it. He's got a mission. He's looking for souls. And He's on to the next house because every soul is precious in His sight. Amen? That doesn't mean He won't come back around your neighborhood, but I won't get on the first trip. Amen? Because He came to my neighborhood many times. I didn't understand Him. I didn't know how to reach Him with my heart. Because nobody taught me faith, but Jesus kept coming back around. He's like a bus. Like that, you know, some churches have buses. They'll come around. If you're at the bus stop, they'll pick you up. But if you ain't, they're going to the next house, right? But Jesus, He's the bus, man. He's the ride to heaven. Amen? How did I sing that? Jesus come a knocking. I can't even get the tune back now. That was an anointed song. Amen. Jim, you better write that down now. Write that down, Pastor. And Tammy will teach us how to sing it. Amen. Praise God. Glory to God. We done got something started in this church. Praise the Lord. Jesus is moving through the church. Look out now. I'm thinking about that old song when that squirrel gets loose in the first Baptist church or something. Remember that song? People went berserk when that squirrel got loose. Remember that song, Tammy? You don't remember that song. It's an old one. When the squirrel went berserk at the first something Baptist church. It was a crazy squirrel, but they thought Jesus had entered in there. They thought the Holy Ghost was moving, I guess. We don't need no crazy squirrel. We just need the pastor to sing an old crazy song, right? People get happy, get filled with the Holy Ghost, and get filled with the Holy Ghost. And let your life be changed. Amen? But don't be a hypocrite. This is what Jesus, He hated religion and hypocrisy because it wasn't the truth. It was deception. They were under bondage by the devil. And then they understood. When Jesus says something, that's when understanding comes. And we're getting to the message. Then they understood that He did not tell them to beware of the leaven of the bread, but beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees, which is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. And when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea, I'm thinking about pizza now. Little Caesars, I'm thinking about pizza. We went from anointed singing to, and I'm getting hungry now. Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, and He asked His disciples. Now Jesus is asking His disciples something. Who do men say that I am? Selah. See, a good teacher always is going to give you a test, right? In the middle of your having a good thing, you just getting some revelation on the last thing He told you, and then He says, who do men say that I am? They're walking down, they're on the way to Caesarea Philippi, going for some pizza. Who do men say that I am? See, He's still dealing on hypocrisy. Oh, who starts talking? Who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, some say John, Jesus, John the Baptist. Jesus didn't answer. And some say Elijah, prophet. Others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. They guess, and they saying, who do men? They rammed them to all that tradition they had at church. Which, they had the law, that's good, some teaching. Jesus, they saying you this, they saying you that. I can see Jesus just walking, talking to disciples. They probably, some on this side, some on that side. He said it loud enough so they all could hear. And Jesus is still walking. They're saying, some say John the Baptist, some say Jeremiah, some say Elijah. And Jesus turned around and said, but who do you? He's looking right at Peter. Who do you say that I am, Jim? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. How did Peter know that? Because Jesus said, who do you? That anointing flowed right from heaven through Jesus right to Peter. Direct connect to God. Thou art the Christ. He didn't speak it with his head. He spoke it with his heart. No hypocrisy. I've been walking with Jesus and I know who you are. See, the devil come to Jesus and said, I know who you are. Jesus, the Holy One. See, the devils know who Jesus are, but they don't want him to say who they are. They just little old zeros. The devil ain't got nothing. So Jesus say, shut up, come out. He didn't want devils talking to him. Devil has no place. Amen? See, the devil knows the word, but there's a spiritual error. It might sound good, but the spirit of it's wrong. See, there's no truth in him. The devil knows the word. He knows it. Tradition. Man, you get going on God's path, the devil, he's going to try to throw you all kind of pitfalls on the way. Good things. To get you out of the will of God and get you out here to where he can try to take you out. To do good things, Randy. And that's where you got to rely on the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost said, Paul, don't go to Macedonia. Don't go over here. Go to Macedonia. He had an angel appear to him. Come over here to Macedonia. Well, Jesus said, go preach all the gospel everywhere. Yes, he did. But not today. Not today. You're not going to all the world. You're going this way. You're going this way today. Right? This way. This way. Amen? And that's the way you go. I don't care if you got 500 people want you to preach over here. And five people call you over here. And the Holy Ghost says, go to the five. You go to the five. See, don't go by the... Well, there could be a bigger offering. Let's say five and 500. If everybody gives $10, that's... See, but that's Judas. That's hypocrisy. You follow your heart. Amen? I've learned underneath my pastor, you never look at the money. You don't call people to ask to preach. You rely on the Holy Ghost. Amen? That's doing the impossible. Well, nobody's calling. Do the last thing God told you to do, right? Amen? Yes. Amen. Just keep doing the last thing. Keep taking the trash out. Keep cleaning the commodes. Whatever God's got you doing, amen, are you listening? It's all important. Amen. Keep greeting the greeters, Elaine. See, there's a bigger purpose than just greeting. And there's a bigger purpose there. There's a bigger purpose. We can't see it all, but God does. He sees your heart. See, he sees your heart. Man, thank you, Jesus. I wonder why this page went but one page. God had so much he wanted to say. I didn't need a big page. Thank you, Lord, because I don't really like staying up trying to figure out all these pages. I just like to get into the Word and just let God just do what he wants to do. Amen. Where am I at? Verse 12? No. Who do you say that I am, Jesus? Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you. Pass the test. Blessed, you just passed the test. Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you, see, you tell Jesus who he is, you confess him as your Lord and Savior, then he'll say to you, I say to you, you are healed, Hank. Your lungs are made whole. And see, that's what Jesus says back to you when you say, Jesus, you're my healer. Receive healing. See, that's what you get. Now I say to you, you are healed. Remember one guy that he was blind, came up to Jesus. Jesus had been preaching in a town that was just full of hypocrisy, full of unbelief. He took this man and drug him out of town and prayed for his eyes. Spit, put mud on. Now, I don't know if it's spit or mud, but he prayed for his eyes. He said, "Now what you see?" He said, "I see men like trees walking." See, he had to get him out from this old town that was full of doubt, unbelief, and tradition and religion, hypocrisy. And he got him out here. And he said, "I see men as trees walking." And Jesus said, "Laid his hands on him again and prayed again. Now what you see?" And he saw Jesus. He saw, "Who do you see?" He saw the healer. He saw Jesus. See, because all he saw and heard was tradition and empty words, vain. You know, give you money, keep the law. You might get blessed one day. You might get healed. Stay by this pool. An angel at one time stirred the waters. Jesus is walking on the earth. And he took him out of that old doubting town and got him out here and got him healed. Amen. Even Jesus had to lay hands on somebody twice. So don't give up if you pray 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 times to somebody. Amen. You're not Jesus, but we have His Spirit. We have the same power. Amen. So don't give up. Too easily we give up and we miss that. We're right there at the breakthrough. Right there at the breakthrough and we give up. Jesus said, "I also say to you, Peter, on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail." You'll stay out of that boiler room. When you confess Jesus, you go from the bottom to the top. And you stay out of there. But see what Jesus said, He said, "And upon this rock," I like to say the rock of ages, the rock of revelation. What just happened to Peter? He heard from heaven, straight from heaven. Jesus said, "Upon that rock." You heard from your heart, not from your head. On that rock, I'm going to build my church. Jesus said, my church. There's a lot of churches out here. They're not hearing from God. They're hearing from Prophet so-and-so up in here through all the churches. That's okay if he's hearing from God. But you got to have a personal revelation. You got to say who Jesus is today on Sunday morning and Monday morning, Monday through Saturday. I don't know it all, but I know him. Amen. I know him. I don't have to know it all. I just need to know today what he said. That's what I heard last week. So I'm going to focus on today, what he's saying today. Today, Jesus said, Hank has new lungs. What does the church say? Yes and amen. Yes. See, we agree with you, Hank. And that goes for anybody. I'm just picking on Hank this morning because Jesus said he needs to hear. And he needs to hear. And he needs to hear that he has new lungs. Amen. Because, see, his ears have been hearing him struggle to breathe. But he says those ears are going to hear something different. They're going to hear, I can breathe better. And for long, Helen's going to be chasing him down. Because he's going to be running around the room. And he ain't going to be panting hard. And he's going to be singing Jesus. He's going to be singing that song. If Jesus come a knocking, let him in. When Jesus come a knocking, let him in. He is your healer. He is your healer. When Jesus comes a knocking, let him in. When your lungs start breathing, he's in. He's in there. When them lungs start breathing, he's in. I was just asking me and Kelsey talking on the way to church this morning. Well, I was doing most of the talking. She's over there sleeping because I was driving. She was resting her eyes. I take that back. She wasn't asleep because if she was asleep, she wouldn't have said anything. But I'm like, I got to thinking about, you know, God breathed in the nostrils, breathed in Adam the breath of life in his nostrils. I'm like, when you do CPR, I said, you don't breathe in their nostrils. You hold them and you breathe in their mouth. God breathed in his nostrils. I'm like, well, I didn't quite get all the revelation, but I'm like, there's two holes in here, so you definitely couldn't do CPR in two holes in your nose. You got to do it in your mouth. But there's something about the nostrils. God breathed into Adam the breath of life. Breath of life. Thank you, Jesus. Things are changing. Upon this rock, Jesus said, I'll build my church. I believe this is what this church is built on and will continue to be built on is the revelation. And it's going to come through the body, through the pastor, through all of us working together, hearing from God, saying, I don't think we need to do that, pastor. See, I'm listening to the body too. I'm just not listening to the head, to my head. I'm listening to the head of the church, Jesus. But I need you guys helping me to hear. And that's why we vote on the carpet. It ain't just one person here. We want it all working together. So we all come in here dancing on this new carpet. I said, as long as it ain't pink. You can't put pink carpet in here. Some churches might have pink carpet, but not this church, right? Amen. Can't have pink. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody said amen on the, no pink. Now all the men said no pink. Purple. Well, we have to pray about that too. That's why we have a democracy, right? It's a democracy. We vote. And I pray you all hear from the Holy Ghost. We all, and it might not all be the same vote, but the majority of the vote will be. And then the ones that didn't get it, we'll work you. God will work you something in the church there. You'll get something your color next time, right? So anyway, the rock of revelation, that's what the church got to be built on. Peter answered by the inspiration. He was inspired by the Holy Ghost who was upon Jesus. Jesus was anointed. The Holy Spirit was upon Jesus. And what, as soon as Jesus said, who do you? Jesus released the Holy Spirit, that anointing, right over to Peter. When the anointing hit Peter, that's when he spoke inspired by the Holy Ghost. It's kind of like, guys, if you have a battery that's dead and you need a boost, you get a car that's got a strong battery and you put your jumper cables on it and you get a boost from the Holy Ghost. From that anointing, it flowed from the head to the body to Peter, and Peter prophesied. This is He. This is Jesus. He's the Messiah. Revelation came to Peter. You are the same way. That's how you hear from God. We've got to quit struggling with our head and just listen with our hearts. Amen. The kingdom's not hard, and I'm talking about myself. You got to just hear God. It'll be that small, still voice, but it'll be loud as a bass drum on the inside of you. Not up here with your head, right? It's in your heart. Amen. That's where everything works, is from our heart. And Jesus told them, this is what the church would be built upon. The rock, the revelation of the kingdom of God. Kingdom. Say kingdom. Amen. Kingdom of God. Let's look at one more instance, and I won't keep you too long today because I got thinking about chicken and thinking about pizza. And I'm really getting hungry now. And I don't think we're going to either place to eat today. Caesarea Pizza Pie. Hallelujah. Thank you. Gee, that would be a good song too. All right. We're going to look at another revelation from the Spirit of God. Amen. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He said, it's not time to eat yet. It's getting close, but it ain't time yet. Amen. Matthew, just flip on over to the next chapter. You said, well, I want to see that somewhere again. You know, that happened there before. I want to hear that again. Well, Jesus said it again. In Matthew 17, verses 1 through 10, it says, after 6 days, Jesus took who? Peter. Well, I tell you, before we go there, though, I just want to let you in on, Jesus didn't speak to the devil. He spoke to Peter when he said that. Peter, inspired by the Holy Ghost, said. Then Jesus started talking about, after they got that revelation, that he started telling his disciples as he was walking on about how he was going to go and be held before Pilate and all these things was going to happen. He was going to be crucified and beaten and whipped. And on the third day, see, a lot of times we listen to a lot of bad things that's happening in our lives, but if we listen to the end of the story, it says, but on the third day, see, Jesus ain't bringing all the trouble in your life. He's bringing you the future is at the end. But in the last day, third day, I'm going to rise from the grave. See, Jesus had to go through all that stuff. We don't. That'll help you right there because He's already went through the fire. Amen. You don't have to go through the fire. Now, you can go through the fire if you want to. Jesus still loves you. But that's your fault because He went through the fire. He went to the cross. We are past the cross. We come to Pentecost. The Holy Ghost comes in and says, hey, don't go there. Don't do that. And it'll save you all that tribulation. Right? But Jesus had to go through it. And He was telling them, and then Peter said, whoa, not so, Jesus, not so. And then Jesus rebuked, I need to say that right. We need to go to the Word here. It's back here in Matthew 16. Right after Jesus said, I'm going to do all these things, this church is going to be built on revelation, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bound on earth be bound on heaven. And then He continued on with the disciples, and Jesus began to tell them about all these things He must suffer in verses 22, and Peter took him aside. Jesus is going to tell Peter something, his teacher something. Remember, you were never above Jesus. We're never above our master, right? Jesus, come here. That ain't going to happen to you, sir. Jesus said, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. And Jesus turned to Peter this time. He said, he didn't say, oh, Peter, you're great. No, he said, get behind me, Satan. Now, look now. He's not talking to Peter. See, Jesus loves Peter. He's talking to that spirit that just influenced him. Get behind me, Satan. See, because now Jesus is being tempted from Peter, from the devil. Right? He's using Peter just like he used Adam, just like he used the snake in the garden. Now the devil is using Peter to tempt Jesus. Not so. You're not going to the cross. Well, yeah. The devil don't want Jesus on that cross. Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. Got a good book coming out. If you don't get offended, you'll get blessed. Be saving up your money because Jim's going to write that book. I believe by the Spirit of God, we're going to help you publish it, Jim. Amen? Amen. Can everybody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. You're an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of what? Men. Men. See, that's men. See, they wanted to make Jesus king, but no, Jesus said that my kingdom is not of this place. So the Holy Ghost can speak to you a powerful word. You got it, but then watch out. The devil, he wants to get in there and deceive you. You know God's voice. Jesus said, you know my voice. Get behind me. You tell the devil to get behind you. No, once you get the plan of God, you walk it out. You tell the devil to get behind you if that's not God's plan. You got to rebuke him. And that's what Jesus did. Rebuked him. But then get on over to verse 17. See, Jesus didn't give up on Peter just because the devil used him, got in his mind. Because, see, the Holy Ghost ain't in Peter yet, but it's on Jesus. That power is on Jesus, but it's not on Peter yet, but Jesus can still get it to you. Amen. If you follow him, he wants you to operate in the power, but not before you're ready. Because if you don't know something about electricity, if you get the power, if you don't know how to handle it, Randy, it'll burn you up, it'll electrocute you, it'll make you dead. If we don't know how to operate in God, the devil's out here trying to kill us, right? So we've got to walk with God, walk with that. To him much is given, much is required. We're accountable to what we know from God, right? 17 verses 1 through 10. I'll read this quick. And after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them on a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. This is Jesus, what he's looking like. And his clothes become as white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with them. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Peter, he don't know what he's saying. Peter, you need to be quiet, boy. He's in the flesh. He's wanting to build tabernacles. Who shows up? Who's talking next? But that's okay. Jesus still loves Peter. He likes that boldness in Peter. See, God likes, he's put things in us for a purpose. That's why Peter's there. Amen. He is bold to declare what's in his heart. See, Peter, he don't understand all this yet. But he's trying. He's like, oh man, this is my, we're on a high mountain. Jesus, let us build some tabernacles here. Moses and Elijah's talking. And while he was speaking, while Peter was in the midst of his sentences, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son. Hear him, Peter. Peter went, whoa, man. He went to his knees. See, God spoke. See, Peter, in other words, what Peter was saying was not what the Father was saying. The emphasis was going to be on grace. Jesus, see, Moses and Elijah, that's the law. That's that, where all that old tradition and hypocrisy. It was a covenant. It was a good thing in their day. But now Jesus is on the scene. Grace is here. Jesus is full of grace and truth. It's his time on the stage. And God the Father says, hear Jesus. Quit hearing the law. Quit hearing the prophets now, because there's a greater one now here. Jesus is here. My Son is here. Hear him, Peter. And then after he got that rebuke from heaven, Jesus came over and said, Peter said, touched him. That power touched him. Get up, Peter. And when they looked, they were like, oh man, they're going to see. They didn't know what they were going to see, but then they looked up and all they saw was Jesus. See, that's the dispensation of grace. Moses represented the law. The prophets, that was the Old Testament. There was a new thing happening. When? Today. Today is a day of grace and salvation. A new covenant, Jesus said, I give to you. Love one another. Who do you say that I am? That's the question for you today, amen? Who do you say? I say Jesus is my Savior. Who do you say that He is? Hank, I say He's my healer. Who do you say that He is, Randy?
The Lord and Savior, soon coming King.
Hallelujah. Miss Tammy, who do you say that Jesus is?
My deliverer.
My deliverer. Who do you say that He is? Amen. What do you need? That's what He can be to you. Amen. Don't settle for second class. You're not a second class citizen of heaven. When you fly first class. Amen. I don't care if they sit, if you're in a plane, if it's a Southwest plane or if it's an Allegiant plane, and they haven't had good reviews lately. And if you're on the plane, you fly first class. I don't care if you're sitting in the back. You're first class. Why? Because you're a citizen of heaven. Amen. That means the plane's going to be flying good today. We're getting ready to go on a cruise in June. Going to be no rocky waves out there. Jim's a Navy man. He knows how them seas can be. But we speak in peace right now. I'm always having fun. Not on this boat. They got a lot of pizza. They serve pizza and they have ice cream all 24/7. I ain't missing no fun. I have to rebuke that, Jim. There's lots of fun on them boats. Hey, but it comes with a price. Oh, Jesus. But He wants us to have fun. So He took care of that too. Amen. He blessed me. Amen. He blessed us. You know, as parents, we fall short sometimes with our kids, don't we? But not in our heart. I mean, if our heart's with God, we fall short sometimes. We don't make it everywhere we need to make it. But it's our heart. It's the heart. You know, we do what we can do. And God will make it up to us. Amen. Don't look back. Who do you say that Jesus is? Take the limits off of who you think He is and declare who He is. The heavens declare, even the heavens declare that there's a God. Amen. The glory of God. If the heavens can declare Him, I think we can as a church, right? Glory to God. Amen. Anybody got a testimony? Something Lord's already done in your body or something today? Wait a minute. We need a microphone, Jim. Hold that thought. Every morning, the heavens declare there's a God.
Yes.
Thank you.
Well, about every morning for many years, I prayed that the Lord gives His angels charge over us and all of our family, that no evil shall befall us, no plague come near our dwelling. I've seen all three of my children back in times past that being wrecks that should have killed them, and every one of them walked away from them. And so he was saying something about the flying and the whatever. So whatever, this is back about 15 years ago, I guess, flew out to Denver to do a wedding for my son and his wife, Krista. All her family's out there. We were coming back, and we had a stop in Memphis. Left Denver and stopped in Memphis and got off and changed airplanes. And we got back on the airplane, and I was sitting right there where I could see down out to past the back of the wing where they hook up the ground starting unit, which in the Navy we called it the huffer. It just blows air through them jet engines and gets them turning. And about that time, the Lord didn't tell me to get off the airplane, but He said, I want you to pray that if there's something wrong with this airplane, it's going to break before it gets off the ground. You know, that's the best time. And so I didn't panic. I just did what the Lord said. I just prayed, Lord, if there's something on this airplane wrong, it's going to show up before we leave the ground. So we got the plane started up. We got away from the gate. We taxied out to the end of the runway. We swung around there pointing down the runway. Pilot pushed them throttles forward, and that thing was rearing up to go. And then I heard the throttles come back. And the captain said, this is the captain speaking, we're going to have to return to the gate because we've got a little problem. And so then we got off the airplane to wait a while and came back. I saw one of the maintenance men coming off, and it had been a major hydraulic failure that happened to something. So I just, see, it wasn't no panic. This Lord said, here's what I want you to do.
Amen.
And He looked at you. Protector, for one thing.
Amen.
Anybody else testify? Send that. Wait a minute. Send that back. This is good stuff.
He had me to turn to this, and this morning when I was listening to the pastor on television, they were praying. Yes, and he was talking about healing, and I've had to give my brother to the Lord because I don't want to see him suffering. He's going through surgery in the morning. And they said if they didn't do it, that it would kill him because it would go to the bones. And I'm not accepting this because this is not of God, and he's a good man. He's got Alzheimer's, but he's still a good Christian. And I just thank God that he is so real in our lives. But he said, share this. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit in that dwelling in you. And that's Romans 8:11. And I just thank God for his word. And I'm so thankful that we have a church that we can have fun. We can be happy, but we have the truth.
Amen.
And I just love the Lord with all my heart. And I love each one of y'all so much.
It's the one that quickened those lungs for Hank this morning. See, we're still speaking, declaring who those lungs are, whose they are. They're Jesus' lungs. The Bible says, how does the Bible say so? Everything that was created came through Jesus. Means those lungs came through Jesus. See, the devil got in there through the fall, through the curse, things we get into. He's the destroyer, but Jesus says, I'm the healer. So, Father, we just thank you that the destroyer has to leave Hank's body forever in Jesus' name. The devil has no place in Helen and Hank's life.